Well, good evening, and thank you for inviting me to be here at 10th to preach here at my own home church. It's definitely a wonderful opportunity, and I consider it an honor to do this. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1, which was read earlier. And as you're doing that, I'm going to get some water. Well, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was a singer in some ways. I don't think I ever heard him sing an entire song, just parts. And he sang rather loudly, normally stopping because he was bored or because everyone else was very annoyed. But he would sing rather loudly, making everyone leave the room. And he would sing some verses, some lines. And it would be weird songs from, 1920s vaudeville, like Lydia the Tattooed Lady. And as a child, I'm just kind of staring at him like, what are you talking about? What are you singing about? And, during this time of the year, we all make up words to songs, don't we? We hear them on the radio, and we think to ourselves, oh, I know this song. But then you get to the third verse, and you're thinking to yourself, no, wait a second. I don't know this song, but I'm going to make up very funny words. And I have to admit, the song Feliz Navidad comes to mind as one where I sing loudly and proclaim it well, and I don't know any of the words. Feliz Navidad, that's kind of how I go. And occasionally I have said something like, Police Navidad. I just kind of take what rhymes and go with it. And we do that a lot. I think some of you should admit to this, that you do this in the car during Christmas season. But I have to admit I do that as well. And I want to say, and I want to connect the dots here, that we should be singing the whole song, and we should be singing the right song. The Colossian believers here in this letter that Paul wrote were adding things to their religion. They were adding things that didn't belong. They were adding verses, lines. They were singing new lyrics to a song that is as old as creation. They're adding worship of angels, different disciplines. I'm thinking, this will be enough for my salvation. I need to add this part to my salvation. And some of us today think the same way. We think maybe if we have just a little bit more discipline, maybe if we have just a little bit more on our schedule here at the church, or we have a little bit more to sing, or a little bit more volume to sing, then how couldn't my salvation be wonderful? It's full, it's rich, it's mine. But I think we'll find that there's something else that Paul is trying to argue to the Colossian believers. He's trying to address their idolatry. And here in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, we have sort of the thesis of the book. In the Greek, it's a poem. It's written as a poetry and often referred to as the hymn of Christ. And so what he's in fact doing is saying, sing this song, Colossian believers. And he's saying to you today as well, sing this song. Because as we live our lives and as the Colossian believers live their lives, we don't often trust that Christ is enough. We don't often trust that Christ is enough. We have to add one thing after another. We assume that Christ's sacrifice, his cross is nice, and we sing about it. But we want to add different things. We want to add our own works. And so what this section is really telling us, and this is the big idea, Christ reigns supreme for our sake. We should trust him alone for salvation. So, in what three ways does Christ reign supreme in this passage? First, Christ reigns supreme over creation. The Colossians were adding to their religion by celebrating and worshiping idols. They're worshiping created things, things they made with their own hands, drew with their own paintbrushes. And here Christ is the image of God, the firstborn of creation. Christ is a similar partner in creation. What this verse is saying is he is man. Do we worship a created person? That's hard. And we think maybe this is just like Adam. Adam was the firstborn of creation. Adam was the image of God. So are we. But Christ is also the creator. Look at verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. And later through him, and then interestingly, for him all things were created. So he's the source of creation, but he's also the one that creation is magnifying. It is for him. It's wind, it's trees, it's sea, it's mountains. It's all for him. He is the one being glorified by creation. And what does Christ reign over? What is the extent? Well, everything that is visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers and authorities, all things. Christ reigns over all of it, every last inch. And as an illustration, we can look in the Gospels to an account I love, Matthew 8, 23 through 27. It gives a brief account, yet an important account, of Christ's supremacy over creation. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep, and they went and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him? Hopefully you're asking the similar question. What sort of man is this? What sort of man is this? That he can rule over all creation. What sort of man? And so I urge you to grapple with the enormity of Christ. The enormity that we see in creation. Grapple with who he is truly. And do that as you work and play and live. We do that because we were made to enjoy the earth and worship God. And so name the Trinity as the source of beauty and worship and thanksgiving. Use creation to magnify the Lord and worship him, because creation sings that Christ is enough. Christ also reigns supreme in the church, verses 17 through 18. All the nouns change as we work to these verses. Christ is before all things. It's a bridge between creation and the church. He is holding it all together and is Lord over all of it. Often the only part of the song we sing is church. We just think he's here in this building, but he's here in creation as well. He certainly is here, but he's in creation as well. And he is before all of it. He is the firstborn of creation in verses 15 and 16. And the firstborn of the dead here in these verses. Everything regarding the truth, the true church is founded upon Christ. He is the one who marches away from death toward new life as our banner, as our leader, as our captain. And that's what the church should be singing and should be worshiping. He is our Christ, our captain, our Lord. And he is preeminent. What an interesting word. He is preeminent before all things. And that's the Lord, the Christ that we worship here in this church. That's who he is as our head. He is then to become the only one that we worship, the only thing we worship, the only thing we speak about through this platform, through this pulpit. His word is the only thing that should be on our lips. My wife enjoys puzzles. She enjoys puzzles so much, I bought her one for Christmas this year. And we've been going through it. It's a 1,000-piece puzzle. And she loves puzzles because she's an introvert, I think. And all introverts sort of love puzzles. But you sit at the table and we're quietly putting down all these tiles. I'm realizing this is sort of Christ's vantage point, isn't it? He sees each piece being planted. He sees the big picture. What's on the box? Which colors are coming up next? He sees those things. You and I are just living in one of those tiles, not really seeing what's going on around us. And so as things happen in the church that we don't understand and can't believe, he is sovereign over all of it. He's the one sovereignly placing each tile and seeing his plan, his story coming to new life. And what we need to do is plant our own perspective, in his shoes, and look at the church that way. Just like we would as people putting together a puzzle after Christmas. Now, I'm sure none of you are far from a church-related dispute today, yesterday, or probably sometime in the future. It happens all the time. I'm aware of it. I've been a part of some myself. And what I want you to step back and realize is that some of those things don't matter. It's Christ who matters. He is the head of the church. So Christ should be the focal point of the church, even in personal relationships. He should be there week by week, in each interaction as you meet with people day after day. And we do that because we have mutual union in Christ, and he is the head of the church. So speak to one another. Engage with one another in the pew after Sunday worship. Trust leaders. End disputes. Listen to the word being preached. Pray continually. He is there and answering each problem, dispute, horrible situation. Because he's planning everything out. He is the head of the church. He's sovereignly working and planning one thing after another, as if he's putting together a puzzle, a beautiful puzzle, just as beautiful as creation. So the resurrected church sings, Christ is enough. If Christ rules over both the church and creation without addressing the inherent problems in each, then we're lost. Creation can always be beautiful, and the church can be a nice place to gain some professional contacts. But until those things are affected by the change that the gospel brings, they are not enough. You'll always leave dissatisfied. You'll always assume that Christ is not enough. But finally, and thankfully, Christ reigns supreme for peace. We all desire some kind of peace. We all want it. We don't want war. We don't want heartache and hatred, murder. Yet it's a goal that is never met because of the sinful world. It's always far off. Christ is the only one who can bring lasting peace. God was pleased by the work of his Son. In verse 19, he was perfectly in line with what God had planned. He was the fruition, the climax of his story. Christ is reconciling now all things. All things. Something we don't often think about. We don't often think and sing those verses of the song. All things. How is he doing that? I'm not sure. But what he is doing is reconciling creation and man. All things sing to his glory. All things are being renewed by his strength and might and his salvation. All things are being brought to him by his blood. All things. He is sacrificing himself, not just for us as people, but for the whole world. And he's doing that not continually, but he's already accomplished it. We're not waiting for it. It's already finished. Making, in verse 20, making peace is more clearly translating having made peace. It's already finished. But either way you translate it, the majority of the action is in the past, and the result is ongoing. I love Saturday nights. Hopefully you had a good Saturday night last night. You do all your work Monday through Friday. Hopefully nothing carries over to the weekend, and you get some chores done on Saturday. And then you finally have that Saturday night where you can rest. All things are done. There's nothing carried over. You can sit or do whatever you want to do, but you can rest. And that's that same feeling that Christ's sacrifice brings to you and to me. We have full rest. Christ has even now accomplished salvation for our sake. It's not an ongoing issue that still has loose ends or questions looming. It's done. So trust him and the peace he brings. See him in all of life, in the church, and in all creation. Trust him because God was pleased by him, and his work is sure. Obey and submit to Christ as you live each day, and as you testify about this peace. In our desire for peace, Christ is enough. So will you sing this song with me, the whole song? And will you take Paul's words seriously in chapter 3, verse 15? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Will you sing this song with me? This whole song? Will you repeat the sounding joy? Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Because he comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. Sing unto Christ, who was and is to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, even with my weak voice, I can sing your praises. Even though I am weak, you are strong. So help me to sing the whole song and know that you are Lord over all creation, in the church, and for peace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.